And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, alongside Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City. We're your hosts for Art on the Air. AR 2009 underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breitinger. And if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, please call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. We'd like to thank them for their generous support. We always thank Greg Kovach, our station manager at WVLP.
Yeah, we thank him very much.
Yes, he's helping Esther fly the ship here today. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your art, art-related event or exhibit, appear as an artist, please email us at art on the air WVLP at gmail.com. That's art on the air WVLP at gmail.com.
He's looking at me because he knows I'm going to say, please email us.
Yeah, we're still mining a lot of the information here. And besides, we're transmitting with a transmitting power of 10 million microwatts. By the way, our program is rebroadcast at Monday at 5 p.m. Hey, by the way, if you want to listen to our previous shows, you can go to Breck, that's BRECH.com/AOTA. That's Breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. And you can listen to our past episodes. We usually get up our episode probably within a week, so you can do that. We have our arts calendar. Before we get to that, we want to say that if you are a listener of the show, you want to listen to us or the wonderful things that we're doing at WLP, we're looking for your support. We are a community radio station. And besides like the underwriters we have for the show, there are underwriting levels for different things. So if you find yourself listening to our show, why don't you make a contribution? You know, it's very important. We have underwriter levels, various things. We will announce you on the show that you are that, and they're not really commercials, but they're showing your support for what we're doing here. Again, you can do that at WVLP.org/support. That's WVLP.org/support. We don't want you to just be a listener. We want you to be a supporter of the station. And like I always say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. Well, now we're going to get on to our arts calendar for this time, and I'll start with Porter County. Valparaiso University Center for the Arts, they continue at the Brower Museum. They started January 8th, and this will go all the way through the end of March. Icons on Ammo Boxes. It's art by Sofia Altanova and Alexander Kolomenko. I managed to get that out every week. They also have Line Force and Burn Rubber, Sarah Kemp and Olivia Petrides, and then also The Art of Lynn Olson. They all will be at the Brower Museum or the various galleries there. Ellen Firm Gallery on US 12 in Beverly Shores. They will still feature caricatures by Irene Brown. She's the docent, by the way, if you've ever been to the Beverly Shores Depot, especially during the summer hours. She's there. And then, that will go February and through March. So that's at the Ellen Firm Gallery. The Village Gallery at Pines will now feature Doris Meyer's exhibit. It's opening March 3rd. It's going to be Trees, Rocks, and Waters, a collection of reflections. That's the Village Gallery at Pines Village in Valparaiso. You can contact them online to see that. And, of course, back in July, I have an exhibit going there, too. Chesterton Arts Center, the Duneland School Corporation, will be featured. They have, like, two kind of exhibits. The first exhibit will feature grades 9 through 12, their high school gallery, and then the opening reception will be on March 5th, and then they will have the K through 8 students on the second part of the month, March 16th through the 30th. They'll have a reception on March 5th for the high schoolers and on March 20th for them. Chesterton Art Gallery is located right on 4th Street just off of Broadway in Chesterton. You can see them online or on Facebook to keep a point. The Art Barn, they are going to be starting their children's exhibit. It's going to be March 16th through April 27th. Each year they have a children's exhibit featuring art from all their young artists, age 5 through age 18. Again, if you want to find out information, it's artbarnindiana@gmail.com. They also have a website and Facebook page. Memorial Opera House. Well, Shrek the Musical has two more weekends left. They extended it 1 week, so they'll be running through March 10th, Friday, Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. You can find them on their website or Facebook page, the Memorial Opera House. Adults are 21, students, military, and seniors are 18, and they do have group rates. Finally, in Porter County, Art Z Fine Antiques. They're located on South Calumet. They're a new gallery. You can enjoy an evening on how to create your own earrings, a necklace with glass. They have a glass artist, Meg McCarrell, and Kathy Zuzek. They'll walk you through on how to design, create, and design making art Glass Jewelry. That's going to be on Thursday, March 7th from 6 to 8 p.m. Cost is $65. Includes all the tools, supplies you need, 2 hours of instruction, light snacks, and if you want wine, you can go next door to Flying Mermaids, if you're 21 and over, that is. And please contact them, then they'll be great. So what do we have going on in LaPorte County?
Wow, it's getting busy in LaPorte County. It's first Friday, March 1st.
Yay.
So many additional studios are open from 5 to 8 p.m. The Lubeznik Center for the Arts is exhibiting Nature Versus Everything through June 8th. It features 9 contemporary artists with work that it's a new environmentally minded exhibit that explores the perilous battle between humanity and the natural world. In the Susan Block Gallery on the second floor is a large-scale installation. It starts with an animated video of a charcoal-drawn landscape with its inhabitants and extends into 3 colorful dimensions so that the viewer becomes part of the art. In the NIPSCO Education Studio is Melissa Washburn's Cabinet of Curiosities. Discover all the wonder and beauty this exhibition offers. I have seen it. It is very beautiful and wonderful. Southern Shore Art Association is opening a new exhibit called Old, New, and Renewed to March 1st for First Friday. The gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street, and they are open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 12 to 5. You can find more information about them on the web, southernshoreartassociation.com, or visit their Facebook page, Southern Shore Art Association. SFC Gallery will host Artist Appreciation Night on Friday, March 15th at 5 to 8 p.m. In LaPorte, we have the Thaddeus C. Gallery located in downtown LaPorte. Their gallery hours are 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Their phone number, 219-326-8626. They can be viewed on the web at thaddeusc.com. And again, their number, 219-326-8626. Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street is exhibiting work of Rick Lang and Suzanne Cohen Lang. Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 South Franklin Street in Michigan City. First Friday is the opening, March 1st, First Friday, is the opening of Threads of Life. It's a group exhibition of artists who work in the medium of fiber, fabrics, and textiles, and it's open through the end of the month. The Nest, located at 803 Franklin Street in Michigan City. The first and third Monday of each month, we host the Singing Sands Toastmasters. The dates this month are March 4th and 18th. Become a better communicator and leader with Toastmasters. Friday, March 8th, a celebration for International Women's Day. This is the second year the Michigan City Commission for Women is holding an event. This year it is titled Positive Visibility of Women Celebrating Achievements. And this gathering will include an exhibition of women artists, musical performances by Michelle Schaefer, actually only one musical performance, Michelle Schaefer. We'll have comedy, we'll have interactive art, educational activities, international foods, crafted, sumptuous, non-alcoholic beverages. The event is free, and everybody is welcome. The artists, let me see if I have a quick artist list, so maybe you'll hear a friend and come and visit. Valerie Taglieri, Julia Nielsen, Amanda Joyner, Susanna Watson, Laurel Izard, Sandy Setlick, Carol Stoddard, Suzanne Cohen-Lang, Carol Block, Sherry Lemonnier, Louise Skinner, Nancy Cassidy, Heather Seawright, Amy Navradakis, Sharon Goodman, Jill Chambers, Melissa Washburn, Frances Gishard, Kieran Forrest, Michelle Weiser, Margie Kreiner, and the list goes on, but I think I'll stop right there and wait till next week to
hit it again.
Fill that in, yes. March 9th is a showing of Aladdin in Love. It's a video with live actors at 2 p.m. March 17th, the Mindful Fiber Artists Gather. Please, if you're interested in fiber, come and join us. I think we start at 1 p.m. on that. So bring a project, or if you have something that you want to talk about or are stuck on a project, there's a lot of talent there to help you through. March 23rd, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent.
Ta-da!
I know. This little music. That's Vaudeville meets Show and Tell meets Open Mic. And we're looking for dancers, visual artists, demos, animal trainers, really every kind of talent. Clog dancers, ukulele players. please come out for that. March 23rd, there's a sign up on the event page at the Nest Michigan City. March 30th, we have Keith Scott Blues. And that is it for Low Port County.
Well, I'm excited about First Friday starting up down in
Franklin. It'll be the first ones of the year.
Yes, and all the way through summer. If you've never been to a First Friday in La Porte on Franklin Street, it's a wonderful time to catch all the galleries being open, all the little shops there. So if you get a chance to do that. So we'll move on to Lake County right now. Wow, first up here is South Shore Arts, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Their spring classes are starting March 25th, and we have someone in the studio to tell you more about that, but they're enrolling now, so get that. And they just added a figure drawing class with Tom Torvalinke, Mondays 6 through 8:30 p.m. So if you know anything about Tom, I think you want to get involved with that. The Bachman Gallery has Haunts, and again, we'll talk more about that. It's running through April 21st. The artist reception is coming up on Sunday, March 3rd, from 1 to 3 p.m. That exhibit was curated by the man himself, John Kane. So amazing. features the work of guerrilla photographers who have been lured to Gary and other cities to find the haunting beauty of architectural ruins on the verge of being repurposed as gardens and other public spaces. I mean, it's a wonderful thing.
I know, it's wonderful. I can't wait.
Yeah. I have to go try and see that. Atrium Gallery. James Wachowiak is through March 24th. He has the artist reception on the same date, and so you can see that's work. Other South Shore arts around the area, you can see at the Toll Theater, Lori Shimmer Carpenter, Midwest Reflections, and she already had her artist reception, but you can see that. She will be running through March 17th, Cafe Fresco in Crown Point. Brianna Mihalovic is the Region at a Glimpse, and that will be going on through April 28th. And South Shore's Art Full Gardens, also in Crown Point. Casa Sezanuski, I think I got that right. Beyond the White Gardens will be running through April 27th, and she will have a reception all the way in March on the 30th. So that's what's happening in South Shore, and believe it or not, we'll talk a little bit more about some of that. Studio 659, they're just closing out their current salon show, Artistic License. In fact, I think I just picked up my pieces last night. But they are now looking for their new exhibit. They have a call for art. It's called Worn Out, Worn In, Well Worn, Gently Used, and Handled Lovingly Exhausted. It's our idea on the sleeve of the show. We're accepting submissions through March 9th. They ask for three pieces. You can submit online at studio659.org. They have information and more complete on the entire call for art right there. That's located on 119th Street in Whiting, a nice little studio. So go studio659.org. Hey, Miller Arts and Creative District, Indie Windy, a love story. This exhibit moved from South Shore's Bachman Gallery and is running through March 10th. Ish Muhammad and Liz Maris will now conduct a gallery talk that's on Friday, March 1st, from 6 to 7 p.m. And also, Girl Scouts will be selling their cookies there. So if you want to support the Girl Scouts and go see some great art. By the way, the exhibit has been split up into some other places. You can also see some at the Gary Public Library on 5th Street and Art House, the Social Kitchen, also on 5th Street. Find out more information from Meg Roman at MillerBeachArts.org, and you can also find them on Facebook page. They also will be getting a First Friday in Miller District there for the arts and various shops there, so that will be starting March 1st from 5 to 8 p.m. Hey, Nostalgic Structures and Scenic Exhibit. You have one more week to see that exhibit at the 8585 Broadway Professional Building. That's the former Chase Bank building in Merrillville, and that's my exhibit there, by the way. And I have 15 pieces of scenic structures and things like that, so you can catch that all the way up through, it comes down Friday. Actually, it comes down Friday after the radio show next week. So, so that will be
You're
there.
Always busy.
I know. Area Artists Association. Well, they just had their opening last night on Thursday, but Artist Narrative, it'll be running through April 24th at the Indiana Visitor Center at I-88, I-94. That's in Hammond, right off there at Exit 3. There's over 60 pieces from about 15 artists there from the Area Artists Association be on display 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, and they'll be running through April 24th. And I have four pieces in that exhibit also. Finally, South Lake Artist Co-ops, commonly known as SLAC, they'll be doing Indifference and Ecstasy, two sides of the same coin. That's at the Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith. Dorothy Graydon, by the way, who's been a guest on the show, will be exhibiting three of her paintings in that show, and that runs through April 20th. So that's what's going on throughout the area. If you have any information you'd like to give us, artontheair@gmail.org. We'd love to see that.
Look at that calendar expanded by 5 minutes.
Well, we do. Yeah, we might go 15 minutes. We're still doing it. Well, we almost
we
did.
We are, 15.
So, anyway, again, if you want to be a supporter of our show, please go to wplp.org/support. We'd love to have you support. Well, our guests today are from the South Shore Arts, the former Northern Indiana Arts Association from many years ago, but they're here to talk about what's going on there, the mission of that, and also a little bit about themselves. So we have Micah Bornstein. You know, we talked about that before the show, and I knew I'd get it wrong.
That's why.
And Bridget Covert. I shouldn't have done that. Micah is the education director there, and we'll talk about classes. And Bridget is the gallery director, and I just met Micah, but I've known Bridget for a little while from our association. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
We'd love to have you. Well, let's talk a little bit about you personally. Micah, we'll start with you, about your personal background. Where are you from? How you got here? Where you went to school? And things like that.
Yeah, absolutely, Larry. I'm originally from Portage, Indiana. I grew up in Portage, went to Portage High School. In fact, I've been saying this for the last almost year now since I've been hired at South Shore Arts. When I was a senior in high school, I won a small but very important award to me at the junior-senior high exhibition that Bridget will probably no doubt talk about, or maybe not. I'm not sure. But it's interesting to have come back to Northwest Indiana and now work for this organization that gave me a place to showcase my creative efforts as a young person. In between, though, there's been about 18 years of me wandering everywhere east of the Mississippi. I've been in Bloomington, Indiana. I've been in Louisville, Kentucky. Oak Park, Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, Montpelier, Vermont, and Baltimore, Maryland, before coming back to Northwest Indiana.
And so what was the chain that connected
all of those places?
Yeah, right.
There was none.
Oh, wow.
In fact, there when we moved stories. Out east, we just generally made a decision to move to Vermont without jobs. So I worked on an organic farm there, and I ended up teaching in a small private school that didn't use grades, very Vermont, to not have grades at your school. And I taught art there as well as math and social studies, as you do when you work at a small private school in Vermont.
What a mix. Yeah.
All that's to say I have a pretty varied background, but the real sort of thread that's connected everything is arts and arts education and just education in general. I've worked as a teacher in classroom settings, both non-traditional, as I just mentioned, as well as traditional public school education. And I've been a teaching artist, much like the teaching artist that South Shore Arts employs to be our instructors. And I've eventually just found my way back to this area and was working in the city in Chicago for an organization called Urban Gateways prior to coming and joining South Shore Arts, which is a teaching artist organization that provides arts experiences in predominantly schools settings for young people in Chicago.
And your degree is a Bachelor of Fine Arts from IU.
Yep, I have a bachelor.
Printmaking, though, right?
Printmaking. I have a printmaking background from a wonderful printmaking school. You do too as well. Oh, wonderful. I do love meeting printmakers.
I love teaching it to kindergartners, especially because I teach in the after-school program as well for the last 5 or 6 or 7 years. And
so, do you teach them like relief printmaking? Like,
We're just mostly digging into a styrofoam,
right? So, relief surface. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Those are interesting.
They love it. It's magic for them.
It is out of all the arts experiences that I have ever had, the most magical. Maybe let me rephrase that. Out of all the experiences I've had as a human being, one of the 5 most magical experiences is the first time you make a print and you pull the paper back.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That image is offset onto that paper.
It is, and the children will say that probably because they hear me saying that, like, okay, watch the magic.
Yeah.
And so we had their parents come one day, and the children were going, okay, now, watch for the magic. And it was like and it's the only time parents actually call me and say, okay, now what kind of supplies can we get to do that? Because they love it. So
absolutely. And I won't say easy, but it's such a straightforward form of printmaking to do at home. Mm-hmm. It is really possible to bring into the home. Background as a printmaker.
Okay.
I love it. And I worked at, actually, and this will be my last printmaking related anecdote, but I worked for a now defunct fine arts press in Chicago called Anchor Graphics for a couple of years as a print assistant and as a teaching artist for them, and actually as a co-planner for the Southern Graphics Council, now SG International Conference of Printmakers, when it was held at Columbia College Chicago. So my printmaking my printmaking background is deep and it's in my veins, even though I'm not much of a printmaker these days.
Well, you're busy. You're listening to WVLP, we're Art on the Air, 103.1 FM. And again, we'd like to thank our underwriters, Brouwer Museum and Walt Breitinger, for supporting us. Thank you for that. And again, Art on the Air, WVLP@gmail.com, if you want to get information to us. That was Micah Bornstein. Stein?
We'll go with Stein.
No, we won't. We'll go with Stein. I actually wrote it down correctly, so I told you the reason behind that. So, but our other guest is someone who I also know and exhibited at the Bachman Gallery in the Salon Show, and she promised me that I'll get into the next one. Bridget Covert.
Wait, I did not hear that.
Yeah, well, Sergio got me in the last one, so I guess.
I was going to say, I'm not the judge. So.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I hear that all the time. It wasn't me. And sometimes they apologize for the show, so. Well, Bridget, tell us a little bit about your background, too. And you just came back from?
I just came back from a trip to Mexico, so I was with some friends out there, and nice little R&R time, so that was really nice.
And you actually still are on vacation, technically.
Yeah, still
so
technically.
So she came in here to talk to you today on her vacation.
She's glowing, though.
Yeah, she is. She's got a special glow about from coming from Cancun. So, well, tell us about your background.
Yeah, so I kind of grew up in the region my whole life. I was actually from an unincorporated part of Cedar Lake, Indiana, so more towards Beecher and a little rural area. And I went to school at Ileana Christian, so it was kind of a trek going to Lansing from Ileana, well, from Cedar Lake. So, and then I went to Trinity Christian College, which is in Palos Heights, and I spent quite a few years out in Palos Heights, and then moved to Chicago and came back actually to Hammond and then to Crown Point, and now I'm in Munster. So I've kind of circulated around the region for a while. I worked at a few different theaters on and off right after college and worked as an art assistant. And then my background in college was actually business communications, and I wanted to get into PR. So I did that for a small restaurant in Chicago, and I was their public relations person for a year. And then kind of came back to the region and had a wanting to get back into the arts. So I started working at Theater at the Center, at the Center for Vision Pouring Arts. And I was a carpenter and then became the props designer and then became their master electrician. And then finally ended up with a full-time job there doing their marketing. So I was doing that for quite a few years until I went upstairs to South Shore Arts, and I've been there for the last 3 years. It's been really fun being in that building, and it's quite a wonderful building to be a part of and to have a home in. So.
Well, yeah, it's fortunate that you get to be an AME, because when I was doing lighting design for Theater at the Center, as well as being theater administrator and things like that, my quote ME were just interns that kind of did what I said. So I sort of ME'd my own shows and everything.
That would be a little bit difficult.
Well, no, it's just the way it was. Yeah. It's like, you wore many, many hats. So, well, very good. Well, you are the gallery director.
Yes.
So what does that entail?
I do some curating. We work with a committee to kind of pick the arts that go into our several locations throughout the region. We have, as you heard a little bit ago, the many different things going on in Lake County. We have a spot at the Toll Theater and at Cafe Fresco, and then we have two satellite locations in Crown Point and Hammond, and then our two locations in Munster, which is the atrium and the main space. So, and there's art to see in all of them, and I kind of coordinate which art goes where, and kind of find those artists or sift through the artists that apply to have a show there. So
if any one of our artists, including myself, want to do something, we just make a proposal to you and about where we want to be.
Yep, you can just find my email on the website and
which is
close together. It's Bridget, just Bridget, at southshorearts.online.org. And the website is southshorearts.online.org.
And you have your own extension, so you can call them at the website. So, well, we just had a recent exhibit at the Bachman. We'll talk about that briefly. That's actually moved into Miller. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so to kind of put it into a whole, we were doing a series called the Urban Legend Series, and the first part of that series was Indie Windy, A Love Story, and it was curated by Ish Muhammad, an artist originally from East Chicago. He's got a space at the Joby Arts Center in Chicago. It's really cool if you can check it out. But he had proposed a show that was kind of a big group of people. Part of the groups was two singular groups called Kisa and the Unwanted, but they are graffiti writers or had a background in graffiti and are from Chicago, our area in Indianapolis, and they do these really wonderful mural work and everywhere, and then they also have their work that they do in their studios. And Ish brought his friends and had this really wonderful studio exhibit in our space, and it included everything from spray paint paintings to sculpture and just a variety of work, and that is now on view at three different locations. The part of the proposal was to have it in three different locations in Gary. The majority of it as the it is at the Marshall J. Gardner Center in Miller, and then the other two parts are at the Gary Public Library right in downtown, and then just a little bit of ways is the Art House Social Kitchen, and that's right on Broadway.
And March 1st, Friday, you can hear a talk with Ish Mohammed and Liz Maris, I think. So that's from 6 to 7 p.m., so you can hear about that. Mm-hmm. So now, do you coordinate that also? Or now
you know what, this show was a little bit more Ish curating a lot of it, right. So it was kind of an easier show for me to work on. It was really fun. But Ish has been kind of the backbone with John being proposed the two-part series, which haunts the second part of the series we'll talk about next. But we've you know, moved it around and installed it in all the locations and whatnot. It was kind of a fun week of crazy installation, but it all worked out. So, and the show's really wonderful at the Marshall J. Gardner Center, too. So still can check it out through March 10.
Very good. Now, the new exhibit coming up is...
The new exhibit that we have right now in the Bachman Gallery is the second part of that as Haunts, and this show will also go to all three of those locations in Gary after it's run at our space. But Haunts is up right now. It's a series of photographs, and it's most of them are vacant places that have been abandoned, some of them that are destroyed now and have been rebuilt into something else, some of them are that are just still decaying. So it's a group of photographers who do this urban exploration, and we have in the show photographers that range from very amateur photography to very well, you know, ambitious photographers who have made a name for themselves in Chicago. And so it's kind of a cool show to see just because of the range of work. We had an artist who had done all his photographs off of a cell phone, and then we've had, you know, someone who's doing kind of crazy things in Chicago and have shown them all at the cultural center. So it's kind of interesting in that aspect too, just to have a nice range.
So these photographs are taken where?
These photographs are taken kind of all over the place. The majority of them are taken in Gary, but we also have a lot of them. We have a little series that of the Star Plaza that was just taken down, and we also have some from Pittsburgh and Detroit and kind of a little bit all over the place. But I would say the heart of it is in Gary, and a lot of it, well, a main subject that you'll see repeating in the show is the City Methodist Church, which from doing this show is kind of like learning that was like a mecca in this area of a lot of, I mean, there's a group of urban explorers that kind of travel all around the U.S. going to these places to see some of the real ruins of like the modern day, to see this church. So you'll see that in a lot of the images we have in the gallery right now. And there's some history there. And when a premise for the show is what they're doing to kind of maybe change these buildings and bring new light to them, and that kind of tied in with the Indie Windy show with a lot of these muralists decorating some of the buildings in Gary to make them...
I know, it's beautifully ambitious.
It is, yeah. So, and part of the show, we have DK Devils who actually come and restore or, you know, change these buildings into something else, and they did that with the train station in Gary, and it's really interesting to see what they did to that building and how they got a lot of local artists involved in kind of beautifying it a little bit and creating these murals in the side of it and making it a space that people would want to go see instead of a place that's kind of just decaying away. So
being a photographer, have you taken any images of these
the
places?
The show kind of motivated me to do so. And when we were installing the Gary Public Library, and right across the street is the City Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. And I had seen so many pictures of it throughout the last 2 years of just doing the show. So me and my assistant went, and we did a little of our own photography in there. And it was very haunting.
It's moving,
to see
isn't it.
It? Yeah, it's
so
well, it's
moving.
And it was kind of, you know, when you study a piece of art for a really long time and then you go to the museum to see it and you're kind of just like, oh, wow, it's right in front of me. And that was like being in the church, was kind of seeing all the historical pictures of it, too, and now being in it and seeing where it's at and kind of...
And really, I mean, the details when you're right there.
And it's a beautiful piece of architecture, mm-hmm. and it's sad to see what has happened to it. There's hope to see something come out of it later on, and that's kind of the premise of the show, too. I think a lot of people walk away saying, wow, it's sad, and, you know... But
and
some
maybe
of the,
there'll be more community involvement because
of
and this.
With some of the places there have been, you know, you don't see what has come out of it too, which would be an interesting part too. So,
do you get to exhibit at all?
I was going to ask that too.
You know, I just recently started playing around with that idea, and I framed a few pieces for the Chase Bank in Maryville, which has become a little spot. It's a fun spot for artists to exhibit. They do monthly shows there where they switch them out. And Lori Salters, who is the person in charge of that, contacted me for artists. And then the artist ended up saying, well, why don't you show your own work? So I just started showing there, and I have a little, I don't know, a few pieces up at the Center for Visual Performing Arts right now, just as a little standby in one of our meeting rooms. It's all like dunes kind of images. I've always been very attracted to the dunes and taking pictures of them. But so, yeah, I'm kind of starting to think about exhibiting a little bit more.
Well, you're listening to Bridget Covert there on WVLP 103.1 FM. And our supporters are Walt Breitinger and, of course, the Brouwer Museum and everything. And real briefly, back to you, Bridget, on photography. So you are doing exhibiting. And you brought up Lori Saunders. She just contacted me because I currently have an exhibit there. And I gave her a whole list of artists because she's having trouble. In fact, my exhibit got extended another month.
Oh, wow.
Because the artist that was supposed to be there punked out. So,
it happens.
We know the artistic type sometimes does that. So, but anyway,
life happens.
And besides art photography, what else do you do with photography?
Yeah, my base in photography has kind of started with being in theater. It started taking headshots for actors, but now it's all the way up to weddings and family photo photography and that kind of stuff. And I just do that as a side kind of thing. And I've always loved wedding photography and always have found a love in taking pictures of people. I don't know, it's kind of fun to capture a special moment in time for different groups and to have that for them. So
who shot your wedding?
I had an old friend who was a videographer who I remember he was with me on my first wedding, and I had put a camera down in the grass, and he almost lost it because he was like, what are you doing with that? And so he kind of was my mentor, and he ended up doing my photography. It was the Seegers video and photography. But so it's kind of a fun little thing to get to do on the side. And there's a lot of ways to be artistic with taking pictures of people and those kind of photojournalistic ways. So.
Exactly. Well, you know, if you're at the center sometime, if you look at the early days of the Theater at the Center photos, those are mine.
Oh, wow.
Because I was doing much the same thing. I shot a lot. I all over the years shot headshots and everything. And quickly, when I was even at the high school, I would shot all my PR pictures against a chroma key screen. And then later put the background in. Because a lot of times, as you know, the set's not done or you pull a stock thing. So, well, we're going to move on to our other guest, Micah, who is the education director for South Shore Arts. I want to say Southern Shore, all the South Shore Arts. And so tell us about what's happening in education. We touched on that a little bit in our promo, but what's going on?
Well, actually, I wanted to go back and make a comment about our Haunts exhibition.
Oh, okay, go right ahead.
Talking about just a moment ago. We actually, as one of our education programs, had two members of the Decay Devils, Tyrell Anderson, and is it Andrea? Do you remember her last name? Andrea will have to suffice. So they came and they talked a little bit about the work that Decay Devils does and their inspiration and where they're going to. And I think one of the things that I don't like to lose sight of as somebody who has roots in Gary and is in Gary from time to time with my work is that they really go to great lengths to not just kind of marshal community support to improve and to draw attention to these buildings, but they also are putting Gary in a positive light, you know, emphasizing that beautiful things are there and beautiful things are still happening, that Gary isn't just a city that belongs in the past. And I think that that's a sentiment that's really lovely. I just want to touch on that.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah, it's what are the Decay Devils for our audience that doesn't know?
I will do my best. Bridget might want to chime in, but the Decay Devils are an outfit of photographers and preservation activists who travel around the world documenting not just ruins and buildings that have fallen into disrepair, but then projects that have gone to either refurbish these and repurpose these buildings or just preserve them in their current state so that they can serve as educational monuments, really, to what's there and what has been there. Most of their actual activist efforts, though, are turned back onto Gary. So these are places they go to document and to see. But then when they come back home, they use that as inspiration to draw attention and to make change in their community. The Union Station in Gary being the prime example of their work right now.
They've been getting a few grants around the area too to kind of do that. But it is interesting to see where they've traveled and to see what they've seen, and how other people are not just letting these buildings go to waste, but actually and with the architecture that Gary has, it's gorgeous, you know. And so
it is gorgeous.
Just to preserve that and whatnot. So they do really spectacular work, and they are doing really spectacular work, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do and what other projects they work on. I know they're just kind of finishing up the train station and working on that, and they have a lot more that they'd like to do and a lot more they're working on. So it's really a cool thing to have them. We don't have any other, I don't think, groups in the show of photographers that are doing this kind of work. So it's really cool to have them be a part of the show and to kind of tell their story just to get it out there a little bit more and, you know, bring light to their what they're doing.
Yeah, it almost makes me want to grab my camera and go down and shoot some of that. So, because I tend to shoot a lot of scenics and things like that. Well, Micah, tell us a little bit more about what's offered. From the days I used to teach there, it was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, things have really upscaled in what's being taught there.
Yeah, we have a pretty robust offering of classes at the center these days. We teach everything from drawing to watercolor painting to manga.
Airbrushing.
To airbrushing.
I thought that was so fabulous.
It is very cool. Some of the work that can come out of that airbrushing class is really remarkable. And that's out of our Hammond location, the substation number 9.
I just might have to do that one.
Yeah, well, please do. So we have manga as well, so comics, and we run that with a local manga cartoonist, manga artist would probably be the more appropriate way of saying that. And we offer that class both in Crown Point and Munster as well. But one of the things I really like to draw attention to are first the figure drawing class that Larry alluded to when he introduced me that we just added. It's actually not on our class schedule anywhere you'll see published in print because we added it after everything went to print. That's with Tom Terlemke, a well-known area artist. If you are familiar with the substation number 9 location of ours in Hammond, Tom did one of the murals that's on the side, the hugging wall, and he was featured prominently in our Indy Windy exhibition with not just some of his large paintings, but some of the studies he did for commission work at the library in Indianapolis as well as the airport, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And his wife, Linda, used to do what Bridget did. She was the gallery man.
Absolutely.
Curator.
So Tom will be teaching figure drawing, and if anybody's interested, it's at Munster at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts on Monday nights, but it is filling up fast. We have a few more spots left. Once people found out that Tom was teaching, they flocked. So we're really excited about that. And then our ceramics program in general has been, I inherited
robust.
This beautiful ceramics program that is at Munster. It used to have it also at Crown Point, but when we changed facilities in Crown Point, everything is now at Munster. And right now we're really looking at ways that we can grow that program, but not just in terms of size, but in quality as well. And I've been visiting ceramics shops in the area. Hyde Park Art Center has a really nice one. Indiana University Northwest has a beautiful 2-year-old facility, and one of their recent graduates is one of our instructors, and he's doing a bang-up job, Ryan Bennett.
I know, I loved seeing the hand-building because that gets ignored.
Hand-building can be ignored. People get very infatuated with the mechanism of the wheel.
Yeah. And I never took to the
and
wheel,
a certain
but
movie.
I love.
That,
yes, a certain
popular
movie.
Cultural reference. and it is. It's very magical to see a pot come from a lump of clay and just be pulled up. So I understand it, but hand building is beautiful, and the mix of the two as well.
And black and white darkroom.
We do. And we would love some people to enroll in black and white photography because it doesn't draw the kind of interest as it once did. But we do have, I don't know if many people know this, there aren't a lot of black and white darkroom labs that are open to the public outside of Chicago in this area. So to have one that you can have access to for 9 weeks at a time for $235, less if you're a member of the organization, is really, I think, a wonderful opportunity if you're at all interested or in learning black and white photography, or if you already are a photographer who just needs access to a facility.
Are you looking for any more enlargers? Black and white enlargers?
We have all the enlargers we can handle, to be honest.
Because I have one sitting in my parents' house basement. My dad did photography, and I've got one down there. And honestly, you know, when digital photography came full frame, I kind of kissed film goodbye. No, because you know you can do so much more. I mean,
I know. It's hard for me to transition. I mean, I do have a digital camera, but I love using film.
Well, see, I feel you have better control of the whole process. I mean, even if I take a casual shot with my face in it, it goes to Photoshop. I can tell you that. Because the ones that I just posted from the exhibit opening last night went there, my face is a little dark here. You know, I can't help it. I mean, it's not vanity. It's just that whenever I put something out, presentation is everything. That's a theater thing. So,
well, anyway. As a hobbyist, and there's a little catch in my voice when you say, are you taking equipment? And I'm always very careful, especially when we don't have any room for it.
Right.
But as a hobbyist photographer, I will say that about 2 months before I started at South Shore Arts, I finally gave up my Yashicamet TLR.
Oh, no.
And I used that thing all the time, but it just came to the point where it was 12 shots, and it was
right.
$5 for the roll and $15 for processing, and I got 10 pictures because I left the cap on for two of them. And
I know. Well, that's
it. It was a painful day. It was a painful day.
You know, film, I always thought like every press of the shutter button is at least a dollar, you know, for the film and processing. Yeah. And in the latter days, I found the processing getting sloppy. Mm-hmm. You know, when you send it to Qualex, which was actually part of the Kodak universe, the stuff I was getting back was kind of bad. Like, for example, like theater shots, I would have to have them color corrected for the prints because they started shooting print film, and half of them would be color corrected and half of them wouldn't be. And so anyway, back to you and back to me.
Yeah, Art Foundations too. I was so happy to see that on your roster.
And we are starting
classes.
To see that run more. That's people who don't know Art Foundations is sort of a foundational mixed media arts elements and principles class for young people to really just try their hand at various art media to see if they have an interest in other
How
classes.
How young do you take the children?
We have a 1 to 3, I think. Sometimes I forget the ages. I have to be perfectly honest, but we have a 1 to 3. It'll be in that book right there to Larry's right. Thank you. Everybody's just now throwing books at me. 1 to 5. See, I knew I was slightly off. 1 to 5 and 6 to 9 are our two age ranges for Art Foundations, and 3 to 5. So as early as 1 to answer the question.
So where do you get draw from your instructors?
Well, I inherited, as director of this department, a lot of very talented instructors. They come from all over the area. We've had instructors do workshops who live and practice their craft in Chicago. I'm always looking for new instructors. It doesn't mean I have an opportunity to give work to new instructors, but some of the most dynamic, exciting instructors that I've hired since being there just walked in off the street one day with a resume in hand and some digital images, and they're doing great work now.
Are you looking at expanding your other locations? I know most of it sometimes is focused on the Munster location, but having classes at the satellite locations?
Yeah, Munster definitely has our largest facility, our most well-equipped facility, just the nature of how it was built, when it was built, and why it was built. But Crown Point definitely has room for some really wonderful classes. I hear a lot about our previous facility in Crown Point, and I don't really have experience with that, but I heard it was really lovely. And I'm always willing to do more and looking for how to do more in Hammond at that substation number 9 building, that old NIPSCO substation, which is gorgeous. I'm trying to do more there. In fact, starting this spring, South Shore Arts is launching our Teen Arts Board. It will not be named the Teen Arts Board forever. The young people who are involved with this project will rename it to be something far more interesting than the Teen Arts Board, I do hope. But I am launching that program out of the substation number 9 location. And that is a program that is open to teens 13 through 18 anywhere. But like I said, it's going to be based out of our substation number 9 location in Hammond. And there's an application online for any teen who is interested, or if you know a teen who might be interested.
And then the website is?
SouthShoreArtsOnline.org. If you go to Outreach on the navigation bar on the top, and if this is for a desktop PC or Mac, but if you go on the navigation bar on the top to Outreach, the Teen Arts Board is one of the three options underneath that menu item.
And what exactly would the Teen Arts Board do?
Absolutely. Great question. So we are going to kick off this first 9-week session with what would be more akin to our traditional scholarship class for young people. They're going to receive 9 weeks of direct arts instruction from at least one or two different teaching artists with South Shore Arts. But along the way, and this is where it kind of diverges from our typical South Shore Arts scholarship class, I will be co-facilitating those first 9 weeks, and we will be doing some planning to figure out what that next year of programming will look like so that the teens give voice to what they want and determine the programming schedule.
It's a great opportunity for teens. You're listening to WVLP 103.1 FM, Art on the Air. If you're interested, again, supporting our program, again, we'd like to thank the Brouwer Museum at Valparaiso University and Art Breitinger of this wonderful building for giving support. Again, you go to WVLP.org/support, and you can be a supporter of our station, underwriter, because we are a community-based radio station, and we need that support because it's almost all volunteer. Back to you, Bridget, for a minute. What do you see? What are some of your future exhibits that are on the horizon?
Yeah, so just to talk about what we have coming up right now, and to bring it back to Hans one last time, our reception for that is going to be this Sunday, March 10, from 1 to 3 p.m. Sorry, March 3rd. Getting my date screwed up. And along with that is going to be our atrium show featuring James Jakoyak Works, Rhythm Over Schism. And that is a really fantastic show that we have up right now in the atrium. Really beautiful contemporary paintings that he does with these really distinct lines. And it's really crisp and it's really nice. So you get a double open reception that day if you come out and you can meet all the artists. I think all the artists for Hans are going to be there and all James Jakoyak is going to be there. And then after that, we have our Tri-County show. The Tri-County High School show is a really fantastic show where, if you've been in our gallery, we have, 14-foot ceilings and it's 5,000 square foot space, and it is covered head to toe with, 800 plus pieces of works. So, we usually have around 800 students involved, 28 schools involved. We give away a bunch of prizes. It's super fun.
That's so magnificent.
Yeah, it's really just cool to come out and see the work of high school students. And
the quality of the work.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It's really incredible. And in the atrium gallery, we're going to have Celebrating Birds, and that's going to be by a couple of Valpo natives, Kimberly Beck and Christina Nowski and Sue Gambas. I believe some of them work at, Michigan City maybe.
Well, Christina works in Michigan City. She's at SFC Gallery. She's also a framer.
Yes. So I'm sure their work will be wonderful to see. And at our Crown Point location right now at the Artful Garden, we have Kazia Chesnowski, Beyond the White Garden. And she's got some, she's a Chicago artist as well. She's from Poland. And she's got these really cool, they're kind of like, they're 2D, but they're 3D looking because she uses like tissue paper and she uses charcoal on top of it to make these very floral gardeny scene. So it's a really nice show to come out and see too, just kind of a different form of mixed media. And her reception will be on March 30th from 1 to 3, which is Saturday. So a lot going on, a lot coming up. There's kind of always something to see somewhere. And if you get our Convergence magazine, which you can actually go online and put an email and you can see it on all of our website. We have all the histories of all of them. Just see what's going on, because with six different locations, there's one right now, 79 different locations with the Gary locations. There's always something to see somewhere. And with the Cafe Fresco, it's kind of fun just because we do a lot of cafe. The cafe's fun to show at because we do a range of work. We've done some, Melissa's shown there before, and she's got really fantastic work. And we've had these big works by Kevin Breinsma, who does these really beautiful spray paints. But we also give that space to a lot of artists just starting out who might not have enough work to fill one of the, you know, larger spaces. Because when you look at each space that we have, it's for being a new kind of artist and filling a smaller space, it's hard to get enough works to do that. So, it's kind of fun. And we have exhibit opportunities for every range of artist around. And I think that's really nice for, you know, something in the region to have. So, lots coming up. There's always something coming up at South Shore Arts.
Well, and also, what do you have coming up? Usually it's in the fall.
In the fall, the salon show.
How many years has that been running?
This will be our 76th salon show.
How many times can we mention salon show?
Yeah. We love salon show.
Well, the salon show is such a part of South Shore Arts and in the history of where it's come from. If you don't know, it started in the hat shop in Hammond, and I think we're the regional artist, or I can't remember what it was called at the time. But it started there. And that's, I mean, it kind of gave way to making South Shore Arts what it is today. And to this day, now it's grown quite a bit. And we have, for the 75th, we had 300 and something pieces submitted.
I know. Everybody looks forward to it.
It's really fun. And it's hard to get into, but at the same time, I think, like, from years. This will be my fourth one, I think. And it's kind of funny because I've seen, you know, so many people knock in it year and after year, and I've seen people who have been in it before, and it circulates. So it's something that I always tell artists to never get down on if they haven't been on it for, you know, been accepted into it for a while. Just to keep, you just got to keep trying because we have a different juror every single year. So
don't blame Bridget if you didn't get the show. don't call,
not
go
the one
yelling
judging
her.
It.
No, she's not the one judging it or even doing that. She's somebody else. I know I've hit that frustration where a couple of years I didn't get, I'm not going to enter ever again. And then I did last year and boom, it got in when Sergio Gomez was curating it.
It's always a different juror, a different taste, a different kind of thing. And yeah. You're competing. I mean, we accept 65 pieces, I think, in the show. So 65 out of 300 being chosen. I mean, yeah. it's quite a bit, but you'll be able to find the submission guidelines for that on our website come probably around August. So look out for that. And it's always a fun show to try to get into. And also, it's for me, it's a fun show to just sift. I always check out the art, and it's fun seeing all the different art. I mean, we have everything from Michigan to Chicago artists entering in the show, so it gives me kind of a nice little way of seeing who's who in the area and who to check out and asked to have a show at one of our spaces.
South Shore, and either one of you can jump in on this, has memberships, and maybe would tell us about that and what's some of the advantages of being a member of South Shore Arts.
Yeah, we have memberships, and I can't remember how much it costs to be a member, but there are a few perks of...
There are a few different levels as well. It's not just one cost.
You can be a life member at $1,000, I know that.
Yeah.
Well, please do.
It comes with certain benefits like getting discounts off your classes and in the gift shop, and also with buying a piece of art in one of our places. Every once in a while, we charge to see a show. It's rare, but when we do, you get free... access to go into there. So there's a few different little perks of being a member, plus you're supporting a really wonderful organization.
And actually, it's very, very affordable. I just pulled it up. So individual membership is $45 only. That's very good. Family, 65. Artist, 40. Student with ID 16 years and older, $25. So, and then there's patron levels and sponsor levels. So
yeah. So there's quite a few little discounts you get, and some perks, and like I said, just supporting the arts is
you
a
get discounts
well.
Back to Micah, discounts off classes, and like
10% discount for members on all our classes.
Very good. Now, do you have any classes that you're developing that maybe we don't have on you're working with?
Yeah, I mean, the long answer to that, Larry, is that I'm always interested in breaking away from our core classes. But it's all about developing a following and marketing those. So we have tried some things like bookbinding in the recent winter session, and we had some interest, but not enough. We had a really wonderful instructor who's a graduate student at the Book and Paper Center at Columbia College, and she won
the big prize at the salon show.
Yeah, she had a beautiful handmade book, and she won the big award for the salon show. So I was really excited about that. So I am looking for ways to develop new classes. With the instructors I have or any instructors who walk in, and we're trying.
Very good.
You know, I was interested in knowing more about Art in Focus because, you know, I saw it on the page, but there really wasn't an idea of what happens during those couple hours.
Yeah, Art in Focus is our twice a month, second and fourth Monday of the month for 9 months, September. This is not a good opening for this one. I'm going to start over. Do you mind?
Okay, go right ahead.
All right, so Art in Focus is our art appreciation. Kind of built as a class, but it's really sort of like a lecture video series. And it happens September through May. We'll do it that direction. Second and fourth Mondays. And we have exhibitors. So we have the artists who are showing come in and talk about the art. Sometimes they give a gallery tour. We show art-themed films. And we have other artists and filmmakers visit and talk about their craft. Sometimes Maestro Kirk Muspratt from the Northwest Indiana Symphony Orchestra, he will drop by like he is on Monday, March 11th to talk a little bit about, I believe, the Keys to France is the concert that will be in April. And he will be bringing two musicians with him, and they will be playing little bits from the show. from the performance.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, it sounded wonderful.
I remember when, and I can't remember her last name, an older lady who was a big supporter of the arts, Rita, and she actually facilitated that for many, many years.
She founded it.
Oh, yeah. And actually, I spoke at it two different occasions, one for theater at the center, and then we actually did a tour backstage and everything for a lot of the people. And another time, we talked about my art. So, I mean, she was such a sweetheart, I remember. So, anything. We're in our last 5 minutes here, and anything else we'd want to touch on that we missed so far? Micah?
Well, I just want to go back. I actually realized when I talked about the Teen Arts Board, which is a project I'm incredibly excited about, that I told everybody where to go to find information about it, but I didn't say when we needed people to sign up by. So we need teens, young people, to sign up by March 15th. So that we can start classes on March 27th.
It said 13 to 18, but do you go to 19 or not really?
Really what I'm thinking is in terms of grade level. Mm-hmm. So I put the age, but I would like it if the participants were still in high school.
High school, okay.
Yeah, that's a good age to capture them, though a lot of times, having been involved with high school for many years, it's a busy, busy time for them. Yeah. So, but that sounds like a great project, I think. Get that young, there's not a lot of support a lot of times for art. We see, like, with symphonies and arts organizations, sort of diminished support.
It's so true. That, and with the Urban Gateways, are you taking from that experience? Because that TAP or what, Teen Arts Pass, that seems like a fabulous
thing. Wow, where'd you hear about that?
Well, where did I hear about that? I like to do research, and so when Urban Gateways seems like so cool, but that Teen Arts Pass, that opens up so much.
That is an exact. So I have I came to arts education because of my enthusiasm for working with young people, and so when I was working at Urban Gateways, shortly before I left for South Shore Arts, they launched Teen Arts Pass, which is a $5 ticket initiative, $5 in cash at the box office day of performance, teens can attend. So it's not a teen performance. It's
they can see what
a performance at one of 20, 25 different venues across Chicago, Chicagoland area.
It's life-changing to see
and
a
they
performance.
Are going, it could be. And it has been for some of the teens.
Been.
And they're going to shows
I've seen it. Yeah.
that are full price shows for general audience. And they're getting in for $5.
Such a brilliant
But the thing that was beautiful
too.
About that I walked away with from Urban Gateways was that so much of that initiative, while it was hatched in the minds of people at Urban Gateways, was driven by teens. So the decisions made about how to roll it out, what to call it, and
this
how
is what
to,
we would really like.
Yeah,
this would,
we're driven by teens, and that's what I brought with.
And Bridget, anything we didn't touch on that you'd like to do? A good follow-up.
Well, a quick follow-up on what we have been talking about. Just to go back to the Urban Legend series, Indie Windy, a love story, tonight, March 1, from 6 to, I think it's 6 to 8, actually, Catch Ish Muhammad at the Marshall J. Garner Center for a artist talk with some of the artists, and just see the first part of that show, and then come on Sunday to see the artists and talk to them about haunts and see the show there. We'll be there from 1 to 3, March 3rd.
Do you have better wine now?
I think we have better wine.
Okay, because back in the 90s, the wine was not very good.
It's not great, but it's not bad.
Okay.
And we will have wine and pop and soda and some snacks during that, and James Chikoyak from the Atrium Gallery will be there, and he's also someone who's worked with Urban Gateways, and he works at the MCA in Chicago, so just a really cool guy to get to meet and see his work. A lot to look forward to in the weekend and upcoming, and check out our website, SouthShoreArtsOnline.org.
Yes, make sure you do that. Well, we'd like to thank Bridget Covert and Micah Bornstein. No, Steen. That time I was actually kidding about it. And we appreciate them being on Art on the Air. We'd like to thank them today. Art on the Air
Very
is
much.
Heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and
Esther Golden.
Yes, she is of golden with the golden voice. I always like to thank Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager.
Thank you, Greg.
And teaching Esther how to engineer the show. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest on our show, again, art on the air, wvlp@gmail.com. And we hope you would do that. And again, we'd like to thank our supporters once more time, the Brouwer Museum, and also Walt Breininger of the building. Next week, we have Pete Doherty, a longtime photographer, good friend of myself. We've served on boards together, a banker turned photographer, and just recently was recognized as the best event photographer in Northwest Indiana. Pete, I'm jealous. So thank you so much. See you next week right here at 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha.